Please grab your message notes online campus. You can download them right now off the media outlets. We're in a series called Unashamed. And perhaps you have asked yourself the question, I wonder what the pastors are saying to people as they're baptizing them over there. Well, what we're doing is one, we're asking them to verify one last time that they have professed faith in Christ for their salvation, that they know they can't save themselves, that Christ is the only way of salvation. And then we actually quote over them a verse out of the scriptures as they go into the water. Here's what we are quoting over them. It's Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in. Everyone in the house and online, say the next three words together with me. Ready to go? Newness of life. So we tell them, we're baptizing you unto Jesus in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And today your sins are buried in Christ and you are raised to walk in newness of life. Today I want to talk to you about this newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it like this. Read with me, everyone. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is, you have placed your faith, your trust in Jesus alone for your salvation. You have confessed Christ. In Christ, you are a, say the next two words, new creation. And here's the good news of the gospel, y'all. And this is where somebody ought to get Baptist right here. The old has. Yeah, look at your neighbor and say, don't judge me by yesterday. Yeah, right. Why? Because the new has come. See, here's a question that we've got to wrestle with. And sometimes we wrestle with this ourselves and we have to wrestle with it as a church. Perhaps you are watching online, you've wrestled with this question. How many of you have ever wrestled with the question of seeing someone out in the public or watching someone on the news and some horrible event has took place, or you see someone's life that is just wrecked with sin and you look at that person and you ask the question, I don't know if they could ever change. I wonder if that person could ever truly change. I wonder if they could ever be saved. Maybe you say that every morning when you look in the mirror. Look at your neighbor and tell them, not me, but I thought it when I saw you coming in church today. No, I'm joking. I'm teasing. I'm like, come on back up. Have you ever wondered if someone is too far gone? Maybe seriously, you're wondering if you've gone too far that God's grace could not reach you. Today we're going to go to Acts chapter 9. I'm going to tell you quickly out of Acts chapter 8 just a moment. And we're going to study two men today real quickly. One's name is Saul. Everybody shout Saul. And the other is a guy named Ananias. And this is so important for you to understand. Saul was a Pharisee, and you learned about him last week if you were here. Pastor Lance did a great job while I was out of town, and he preached on Stephen, this preaching deacon who was stoned for his faith. And a guy was there in the crowd that day giving consent. In fact, he was a Pharisee, a religious leader, and he was taught that the only way the kingdom of God was going to come and take over the world is through the law of Moses. Observance to the law. So anybody preaching anything other than total observance to the law of Moses was seen as an enemy that needed to be eliminated. So the Bible says that this man Saul, who was full of zeal, very passionate about the law of Moses, was consenting to the death of Stephen. What that meant to the crowd was the Pharisees approve of this action. And the Bible says that after that moment, that persecution began against all Christians, and Christians would literally be run out of town, out of Jerusalem, after this event. How many know God knows how to make good come out of bad situations? Because you know what happened when the Christians got run out of town? Everybody's like, that's terrible. Yes, it was. But God knows how to make good come out of it. They left town preaching everywhere they went, and that's how the gospel spread. And the reason there's a church preaching Jesus today in Jackson, Missouri, is because persecution drove Christians to get out of their comfort zone. Amen. And the gospel began to spread. But this guy Saul, man, he was wicked in the sense that he would do anything to eliminate any kind of preaching other than the law of Moses. So the Pharisees didn't accept Jesus, so he didn't accept Jesus. And he was there consenting to Stephen's death. Look on the screen at Acts chapter 8, verse 3. I want you to get the gravity of this guy. Saul, however, was ravaging the church. He would enter house after house. He would drag off men and women and put them into prison. Can you imagine this kind of man? If you were a first century Christian, this would have been the one face on your refrigerator that you would have said, I don't know if God could save this guy. If anyone's too far gone, it's probably Saul of Tarsus, because he was the one who would go in and take men and women away from their babies and have them taken to prison, and eventually they would be executed for the sin of blasphemy. This guy seems to be too far gone. But how many know the grace of God is greater than the sins of man? And there is hope for people. And if you're here today, and I know you might be thinking about someone right now that you wonder, are they too far gone? Here's the good news of the gospel that I want to share with you today. Today we're going to talk about the grace of God who's able to transform. And the first thing I want you to write this down, is this: no one is too far from the grace of God. Amen. Because if God can do something with this guy Saul, who would literally have people executed and their only crime being they have converted to Christianity, if God could save that man, he can save anyone. Can I get a testimony? Amen. So this guy Saul, what happened to him? Look on your message notes or in your Bible, Acts chapter 9 verse 1 says, now Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest, requested letters from the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any men or women who belonged to the way — and before Christianity was called Christianity, it was called people of the way of Jesus. Someone came up to me after the last service and said, the way, that sounds like Yahweh, the name of God. And I was like, hey, that's pretty cool, I'll use that, all right. He might bring them to prison in Jerusalem. And as he traveled and was nearing Damascus, watch what God does. A light from heaven suddenly flashed around him, falling to the ground. He heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And look at Saul's response. Who are you, Lord? Jesus said, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. But get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And he was unable to see for 3 days, and he did not eat or drink. How many of you believe if you got knocked down to the ground at noon by a bright light saying, I'm Jesus, the guy you've been persecuting, how many of you believe you'd lose your appetite for a couple of days too? Amen. Amen. That's fasting without desire right there. Amen. I'd be speechless. And he is blind, and he doesn't know what in the world to do. Here's what I want you to see. No one is beyond the grace of God. If God could come down and minister to him and reach him in this moment, this can only be God. Amen. See, I want you to write this down. Write this down. By God's grace, God takes the first step in anyone's conversion. You see, this is how you and I have to understand grace. You don't come to God just whenever you decide, hey, I'm ready to give my life to God, I want to become a Christian. And that person who seems so far from God, and you're like, well, they'll never come back. Why? Because they haven't made the choice yet. Look at me, let me tell you something. Jesus said in John 6:44, no one comes to the Father until the Father draws them. And when we're dealing with this issue of can anyone be saved? And is anyone too far gone? I recently was asked this question. We actually did a video on it on our podcast. What is the one sin no one can be forgiven for? And the Bible calls it blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And there's all kinds of people that say, well, what if I get tickled at somebody who shouts in church? Is that blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? And absolutely not. Here's some things I'm going to tell you real quickly. No Christian can commit the sin of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, because you're sealed by the Holy Spirit to the day of redemption. This is committed by non-believers. And you say, well, how is it? Can I accidentally commit blasphemy of the Holy Spirit and never be saved? The answer to that is no. The reason I can tell you that no one is so far that the grace of God can't save is because the only sin that can't be forgiven is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And what that means is, the word means to rail against, to refuse, to speak against, to shake your fist in the face of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said this, if I, the Son of Man, be lifted up between heaven and earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Jesus went to a cross between heaven and earth. Today, the Holy Spirit is drawing men and women, boys and girls, maybe you in this room or online, to come to faith in Christ. The only sin unforgivable is for you to shake your fist at the presence of the Holy Spirit and refuse to come to faith in Christ. Listen to me, God never sent a single soul to hell. And every person in hell he loves. You say, wait a minute, preacher. Now let me explain. Everybody who goes to hell sins themselves.
Amen.
Because they refuse to accept the love and the grace of God. So I can say to you, no one is beyond the reach of God's grace to commit the sin of blasphemy as you to shake your fists and say, I refuse to yield to the Holy Spirit's conviction. And at some point in every life, there is a moment. It may not be a shining light on the road to Damascus. It may not be in a church service. Maybe somewhere in the most remote places of the earth. But there's a moment when a human soul realizes there's a God above. That we didn't get here by accident. And we have to make a decision to yield our life to the God that we may not even fully understand. And then when you hear the name of Jesus, we are completely responsible to what we do with the name of Jesus Christ, the one who died and rose again for us. Listen to me, friend. No one has sinned so far and gone so far that the grace of God can't reach them if they yield their heart to Christ and surrender to the saving grace of Jesus. Saul would have been a man that everyone would have written off, but God didn't write him off. Saul that day wasn't even looking for Jesus, but Jesus had his eye on Saul. How many of you can say there's been a moment in your life where you had, maybe not a light bulb go off, but you had an encounter where God got your attention?
Amen.
Amen. How many know God's good at getting attention?
Amen.
Amen. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 14 on the screen. How then will they call on him whom they've not believed? And how will they believe on him of whom they've not heard? So God has his eye on people. Today he is sending out the invitation. He's knocking on the heart's door. One of the things God's going to do now is he wants to use men, women, boys, and girls just like you, just like me. Why? Because they can't believe on the one whom they've never heard. So look at verse 17. Everybody read it. Go. So faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. 40 of you were just baptized in this service. I want to tell you, every one of you now are qualified to go tell someone about what Jesus has done in your life and how he has come real in your life. You may not even know how to quote a bunch of verses yet, but friend, if you've had an experience with Jesus, you've got enough to tell someone what the Lord has done in your life.
Amen.
And God will use you if you allow him. Look, listen, write this down. By grace, God can use anyone to share the gospel. God can use anyone. He can use you in this room watching online. Now we come to this man named Ananias. You've got Saul over here who no one thought could be saved, and yet God saved him one day. He initiated the relationship. But now God needs the next piece to keep fulfilling this and bringing Saul to true repentance and salvation. God's got his attention now. Now what he needs is a believer sharing the gospel with him. And so God chooses a man named Ananias. How many know God chose Ananias for this moment, for this assignment? And God will choose you at times to share your faith. I know what you want to pray. Send the preacher. I can't go to everybody. And it's not my job to go to everybody for you. It's our job to do it together. Amen?
Amen.
Look with me at Acts chapter 9 quickly here at verse 10. There was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, here I am, he replied. Can you hear the Lord when he talks to you?
Amen.
Ananias, here I am, Lord. Get up, go to the street called Straight. The Lord said to him, to the house of Judas, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. How many know God knows how to give good directions? He's praying there, and in a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias coming in, placing his hand on him that he may regain his sight. I love this. Look at Ananias. Lord, I've heard from many people about this man. Here we go. How much harm he's done to the saints in Jerusalem, and he has authority here from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. What's Ananias doing now? The Lord said, Ananias, I want you to go and I want you to share the gospel with this guy named Saul. What does Ananias do? He argues back. He's reasoning. He's rebuking. Why? He's like, God, I've heard about this man. He's coming here to arrest people like me. How many of you would be took back if God told you that your name is on someone's hit list and you're to go share the gospel with your assassin? Because that's exactly what God is doing to Ananias here. All Ananias knows is, I don't even want to be in the same countryside as this dude, right? He's scared. All Ananias saw was Saul. Look at what God says. God says, go. I love God. I love God. He don't even say, oh, bless your little heart, Ananias. He just says, go, boy. Go, for this man is a chosen instrument to take my name to Gentiles, kings, and Israelites. And I want you to notice the next line. For all of you who think following Jesus is just, you know, roses, rose petals after you get saved. Jesus says, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. He says, this guy, he's caused you to suffer. He's going to suffer too. I know this. But I'm going to use him. Look up here and let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Ananias couldn't get past seeing Saul and all of the things Saul had done. But the whole time Ananias saw Saul, are you with me? God saw Paul. Some of you may not realize this, but you've heard us talk about a guy named the Apostle Paul, who would be the greatest preacher other than Jesus to ever live, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament books. Before that Apostle Paul was saved, he was known by a different name. The Apostle Paul is none other than the Saul of Tarsus that we're studying about today, the one that Ananias said, Lord, I believe this is one man too far to be saved. How many know if God can save a Saul and turn him into a Paul, there's hope for everyone in this room and everyone watching online. Can I get a witness from somebody? Amen. Now look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm so glad you came to hear this word of hope for you. No, if God can save Saul, he can save anybody, folks. What did God need to do? He needed to open Saul's eyes that he could be saved. He needed to open Ananias' eyes that Saul could be saved. Amen. Now I want all my CPC people to look up here for a moment. I want to tell you something that this hadn't even gotten out yet. I said it in the last service, first time it's been said, not in private. A couple years ago, we had a group called Intentional Churches come in and work with our staff. And what they do is they help us work with the internal systems, communication, the administrative stuff. Because as a church grows, you have to make sure you have all your ducks in a row. So that you don't implode from within. You gotta be able to handle the growth and make sure you're discipling people and you're staying focused on the mission. They help you with all that. And they say, man, if you can stay focused, you know, our goal is to see you guys, you know, double in 5 years. That's what they said. We wanna see you double in 5 years. Well, they recently found out God's done something pretty spectacular at Connection Point Church. They started working with us in March of 2022, and by when we came to January of 2024, we had grown from 1,100 people on campus to just under 2,200 people on campus. We doubled in 2 years instead of five. That's only by the grace of God. And next Tuesday is their national convention for Intentional Churches down in Orlando, Florida. And a few weeks ago, they called us and said, we've heard about what God's done there, and we want to open our national conference with a 4-minute video highlighting what God is doing at Connection Point Church in little old Jackson, Missouri. Come on, somebody. Look what God is doing around here. No, I don't say that in bragging, because we got a long way. I want to double in 2 more years. Come on, somebody. Open another campus. Come on. Here's why I say that. As you look around here, and I hear it all the time, there are people like, I don't know any of these people. Get in a small group. All right. Because nobody knows everybody. And then sometimes people say, I can't believe who I saw come through them doors. I saw Saul. I want everyone to hear me. I want anyone and everybody to walk through these doors and hear the good news of Jesus.
Amen.
And when they do, I want us to be what Ananias learned. I want us to look at them, and instead of seeing Sauls with a past, I want us to see what they might become if we can get them to Jesus. That might just be the next Paul walking through the door. Amen. Amen. Now look at your neighbor and say, that's why we let you in here today. Amen. Write this down real quickly, and we're going to get ready to close. So here's what we should learn from this. Never let fear keep you from the will of God. Never let fear keep you from sharing the gospel with someone. Never let fear keep you from serving in this church or helping us in the Bollinger County campus. Never let fear keep you held back. And secondly, write this down. Never underestimate the value of a soul, because you just don't know what God's up to next.
Amen.
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 I find this so interesting. You know, Ananias, the Bible only tells us of one man Ananias ever led to Christ. When we've been in this study so far through the book of Acts, we've seen Peter preach to thousands. We've seen Philip preach to hundreds in Samaria. We've seen Stephen preach to a mob. And now you got an Ananias who the Bible only ever records him leading one person to Christ. But the one person he led to Christ would reach millions upon multiplied millions for Christ. You don't know who God's going to call you to share the gospel with. But when he does, will you be obedient? And will you look at them and say, I don't care their past, I don't care what they've done. Never underestimate the value of a soul. I wonder what God's going to do in this person's life if they truly make a decision to honestly follow Jesus. And I'm telling you, if you've received Christ, you're going to want that. Here's your big takeaway today. See, people who've experienced God's grace and been made new desire others to be made new by the grace of Jesus. Can I get a witness from somebody? Does anybody agree with me there? If you've experienced grace, you want other people to experience grace. Amen.